Recordings have started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. And welcome to the RPM Repurpose to RPM Data Subteam call, taking place on the 18th of October, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call, and attendance will be taken on the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now?
Hi, it's David McCauley. I'm on the audio bridge only.
Thank you, David. Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-chair, Kathy Kleiman. Please begin.
Hello, all. Thank you for joining us for this unusual meeting today. This is Kathy Kleiman, and I see in the chat that we're joined by co-chairs J. Scott Evans and Phil Corwin. And today is an unusual meeting. We'll be starting with a statement of interest and then an overview of topics and details that we'll be discussing at the Abu Dhabi meeting for the four RPM sessions that are totaling about 6 hours of face-to-face meetings, for which remote participation will also be available, and I'll be joining remotely, as hopefully will other people who can't make the meeting. So we're going to do that first, and then we're going to turn this over to the new data subteam group that's meeting. The rest of the working group is welcome to join, both the subteam and the discussion that's taking place today. And the subteam will be working on both maximizing the value and relevance of the data that's going to be gathered for the Sunrise. We'll talk about it. A special direction that came from the GNSO Council when they allocated the funds for the data gathering for Sunrise and trademark claims, as well as kind of folding in the additional marketplace protection questions and looking at data that's been gathered. But we'll get to that. First things first, are there any updates to statement of interest? Griffin Barnett says he has an SOI update, which we can view in the new SOIs. Thank you. And Phil Morano also has an SOI update. Terrific. Thank you. So now I'm going to hand this over, I think, to Mary Wong to talk about the session topics that we'll be talking about in Abu Dhabi and how this will be broken out and when we're meeting with the Competition Consumer Protection and Consumer Trust Review Team and other issues. Mary, may I turn this over to you?
Thanks very much, Kathy. Hi, everybody. This is Mary from staff. And so as you see, at the chair's request, we've put the information at least at a high level on this one slide. And we had already sent out, I think, notices about the details, when they take place, the time for each of the four sessions that our working group will have at ICANN 60 for a total of something like up to 6 hours. And you'll see here that we have two Saturday sessions, pretty much back-to-back with a 15-minute break. One of the priorities for this group is to have the data subteam complete their work so that we can get on with talking with the third party who will be selected to help design the survey. And you'll note here that we've put in a note as well that when approving the data request from our group for Sunrise and Claims, the Council's resolution asked for a status update for the December meeting. So for various reasons, there is some time pressures on the data subteam. And so in addition to today's meeting and another meeting they will have later this week, one of the sessions at ICANN 60 will be devoted to the data subteam meeting. Another, which is presumably also going to be on Saturday, or it might be Monday, we are awaiting confirmation from the CCT review team. And the reason why we are suggesting that this group, the whole working group, meet with the CCT review team. As you'll recall, the review team had issued a preliminary report in, I believe, March, and part of that report does address questions of rights protection mechanisms. And essentially, in much of that section, the review team had noted that they didn't have data or sufficient data at that point in time. And one of the data points they were waiting for was the INTA survey. So we're told that they are now in the midst of finalizing their final recommendations and report. And so given that the CCT review team will be at Abu Dhabi, it seemed a good opportunity and timing for them to meet with us to go over what they plan to be recommending for RPMs in their final report. So like I said, we've slated them for the second session on Saturday, but we're awaiting confirmation. If not Saturday, it will be Monday. And all these times are local to Abu Dhabi. The third session on Monday, if you look at that in combination with the fourth session on Thursday, and you recall that there was some discussion as to how the working group can continue to make progress on phase one of this PDP, particularly while awaiting the data outcomes, first from staff and also from the sub-team and the surveys. And the main suggestion is to then start on the review of the Uniform Rapid Suspension System, or the URS. And so the two sessions remaining, the co-chairs discuss this with staff input, and the proposal here is to do one session that will give an overview of the URS, either freshen folks' memories or to introduce it to the community who may be present, and to combine that with a presentation of the initial staff findings on URS data. And as you recall, we presented initial staff findings on Sunrise data, I think a week or so ago. So this will be a similar objective and format. To be followed by the final session, we're continuing with the URS. The idea is, again, while the community is there, not just working group members, but other interested community participants, to get some sense of their feedback with experiences with the URS, and conclude with the agreement of forming a sub-team to do what the previous sub-teams for Sunrise and Claims did, which is look at the long list of charter questions and refine them, bringing back that refined list to the full working group. And Kathy, J. Scott, and Phil, I noticed that there's a couple of questions in the chat. One from Claudio, who is asking if there is value in meeting with the subsequent procedures working group leadership due to the interrelationship between our work and theirs. And Maxime also asked if URS representatives are expected to attend the meeting. I can answer Maxime's question as of now. We don't, as staff, know, but we can certainly find out. And I'll leave Claudio's discussion for the chairs and for general working group review. But Kathy, that's the proposal that the co-chairs and staff discussed for the sessions at ICANN 60, and so I'll turn it back to you.
Terrific. Mary, thank you for the presentation, and thank you for the slide. Before we get to the questions in the chat, let me open up the queue to people who have questions or things you'd like to add about the sessions in Abu Dhabi. The reason for starting the Uniform Rapid Suspension is that we are going into a waiting mode. We will be once the data sub-team finishes up its work, we will be in wait mode in terms of data gathering until we get the data back, which pretty much brings our work on trademark claims and Sunrise period and additional private protections to a halt. And so it seemed like a good time to open up the Uniform Rapid Suspension. Please let people know that we will be holding a request for community feedback on the Uniform Rapid Suspension. We'd like to hear about people's experiences. To Maxim, no, right now we do not expect the URS representatives to be there, and it may be a little premature to have them. If you remember, we didn't have Deloitte until we understood their role a lot more, until we had a lot of questions prepared for them. And, in fact, we had already submitted written questions to them, and they were there to help us understand the answers and clarify. So I would think that having URS representatives, and I speak for myself personally, might be something we would want to do down the line. In terms of Claudio's request question, is there value in also meeting with the SubPro working group leadership? We certainly encourage people to go to the SubPro meetings. They're also having a number of face-to-face meetings and a number of hours of work in Abu Dhabi. And I noticed there were a number of people who attended sessions of both working groups. We are in touch with the sub-pro leadership at a leadership level, and the key question there seems to be when our results can feed into their results and into the timeline. The key issues seem to be timeline issues, not so much substance issues, but I leave it to others to comment as well, and Jeff Newman is here as well. Does anyone have, obviously we'll be finalizing the time, you have the times and the dates. Those are fixed in terms of when the working group is meeting face-to-face. And again, there will be remote participation at all of these meetings, and a number of us are going to be time-shifting, you know, to participate in what will be the middle of the night, our time. But please remember that a lot of what's on these slides, or on the slide right now, is tentative because it may be moved around depending on when the CCTRT group can meet with us, the review team can meet with us, and so watch for the exact details of which sessions will be which. Does anyone want to comment on this or talk about it? As you know, we're facing a good amount of encouragement by the GNSO Council leadership to stay on track, and this is what we're doing that's somewhat responsive to that in terms of time frames, is moving forward to what we can do, which is URF. I'll pause for a second. Okay. Then let's move on. Let's see what else is in the chat. Mary, could you summarize what's in the chat thus far? I'm having some trouble reading it.
Hi, Kathy, and everybody. It's Mary from staff. I think since Claudio and Maxime asked their questions, there was some chat about the URS providers and who they are and how many they are, and I think that's generally the sense of the chat.
Okay, terrific. Well, let's move on then. I'll pause for another second. Now we're going to switch the meeting and hand it over to the work of the data subteam. The data subteam was supposed to have its first meeting last week. Virtually no one was able to attend, thanks to those few people who did come onto the call. But so this is really the first meeting of the data subteam. As Mary has noted in the notes, the data subteam has two requirements. One is to be responsive to the council, and here I'm going to read the council resolution when they approved our data gathering request, and again, this is Sunrise Period and Trademark Claims, the detailed request that we put in. The resolution included the following, that the GNSO Council instructs the leadership of the RPM-PDP to work with ICANN staff and any outside experts to structure the data request in such a way that the value and relevance of the data is maximized. Let me repeat that the value and relevance of the data is maximized. So that's one of the purposes of the subteam, is to look at the existing data request, which has been circulated to the subteam, and hopefully Mary can circulate it to the whole working group so everyone can see it again, and look at that maximizing of this request. We've spent a lot of time on these data issues, so I'm not sure how much more work there is, but that has gone to the subteam to look at. And that needs to go quickly out to ICANN staff so they can work on this further. It's also a matter of looking at the additional, now that we know both the questions for the additional marketplace protections as well as the data gathering and who we want to ask the questions to, there's a further question, we've gathered some data. Is it sufficient? Does it answer certain questions sufficiently? Should we still be going out with data? And how do we fold the additional marketplace protections, questions, and data gathering into the data gathering that we're already doing? So with that, let me turn this over to Mary. If you haven't participated in a subteam before, generally staff participates and co-chairs don't lead. The subteam selects its own leadership, and co-chairs participate like anyone else in a subteam should they choose or act as observers. So, again, everyone is welcome to stay on this call for the data subteam and participate, and also to join the data subteam, which meets on Fridays at Mary, can you tell us what time on Friday, 1600 UTC? And let me hand this over to you.
Thank you, Kathy. And hi, everybody. It's Mary from staff again. So in answer to your last question, Kathy, the sub-team hasn't agreed on a standing time for its meetings, but given the times that were used by the previous sub-teams, the sub-team is certainly meeting this Friday at 1600 UTC. So there's a distinct possibility that that could remain the standing time for this new sub-team. And as you'll see in the agenda pod under agenda item number 2, we are now moving into, as Kathy said, the data sub-team meeting. And typically, while this is just a sub-team meeting because we're repurposing today's call, as Kathy mentioned, working group members are very welcome to stay on. But what we've done under agenda item number 2 is essentially pasted the agenda that the sub-team was going to cover at its first meeting. And the reason why I'm just trying to facilitate the discussion here is that, as with all other groups, one of the first matters of business is for the sub-team to elect or select a chair or co-chairs. We have not managed to have that discussion yet with the sub-team. I note that most of the sub-team members are present on this call. I think only 2 are absent. And of course, we have the 3 co-chairs as ex officio to that sub-team, as they have been to the other 3. So I would like to just pause here briefly and ask if any member of the sub-team would like to put their name forward or put someone else's name forward as a chair or co-chairs of this sub-team. And I note that Michael Graham, who is a member of the sub-team, has mentioned in the chat that he will not be attending Abu Dhabi in person, and because of work and other matters, he will not be able to help with the chairing of this sub-team. And in relation to the members of the sub-team, we can post the link to the sub-team's wiki page in the chat. But off the top of my head, and I apologize if I miss out anyone, I see Christine Dorain, yourself, Michael, and Susan Payne, who are on the call today. I believe we are missing Kurt Pritz and Kiran Malanchandruvel, as well as Lori, who has sent her apologies. Rebecca Tushnet was going to make today's meeting, at least in the early stages, but I don't see her on the call. So Barry has pasted the names of the sub-team members, and Ariel has given a link to the wiki page in the chat.
Sorry, this is Rebecca Tushnet, but my connection is really bad, and I'm having trouble participating.
Oh, hi, Rebecca. Well, thank you for letting us know. We'll note that you're on audio only for the time being, and hopefully you can stay on for as long as you can. And if need be, please just jump in if you would like to speak. So we do have, therefore, a majority of the sub-team members on the call. This first topic of selection of a chair or co-chairs is something that we can keep open for the sub-team to come back to on Friday. And so for the remainder of the agenda, Kathy, Jay Scott, and Phil, since you're on this call and ex officio to the sub-team, I wonder if it would be more appropriate for one of you to chair the remainder of this meeting in the meantime.
Mary, this is Kathy. I would recommend that you chair. I think that's what we've done in the sub-teams in the past until a chair was elected. But certainly welcome to hear what Jay Scott and Phil say.
Jay Scott and Phil, do you have any comments or suggestions for moving forward?
I'm fine with either way. I mean, the one thing about someone from staff chairing is it does sort of put it in a neutral space. And, you know, or I'm fine to pick up if we need be, but I don't care either way, whatever people feel is more appropriate.
Yeah, Phil here. I'm fine with that as well. One of the first orders of the business is for the sub-team members to choose a chair.
Okay, so Jeff says that he doesn't think it's technically within the bounds of staff to chair the call. So, I mean, if we need it chaired, I'm happy to step in and try to move us to this agenda.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay.
I'm happy to do so as well, whatever we
do. So, Mary, do you want to put into the – we have here the resolution, but do you want to put into the proposal that was approved by council? So we see here that we have the proposal that we sent to council that has been approved. Terry has acknowledged, stated that this can be scrolled through in the by members on their own. You don't need to have staff do it for you or the moderator do it for you. It can be scrolled through. So, it looks...
Are you seeing this, J. Scott? Are you seeing it on the screen? I'm not. Okay. Everybody seeing it? Okay. Thanks. I'm not seeing it, so I'll reload.
I do see it. Can the other sub-team members see it? Can you indicate by raising your hand or...
Yeah, Jay Scott, it's Michael Graham. I can see it on the screen.
Okay. All right. So we see here what we've done, and then we have the list of the final charter questions for the trademarking claims. So, one of the threshold questions that I put to the group is there a clear understanding by the sub-team members, and any working group member can... also, of how we plan to use, do we have a consensus on how we plan to use a professional survey designer? And when we say survey, have we clearly defined or do we have a clear consensus understanding on who would be receiving said survey? Susan or Christine or Michael, Mary.
Thanks, Jay Scott. I'm Mary from staff again, and obviously the sub-team members should provide their feedback on this. I just wanted to give a little bit of information from the staff side, particularly regarding the second point you raised, Jay Scott, as to who is receiving the survey. And I think that we may have mentioned previously that in terms of the budget and the costs, it does go up quite significantly, the broader and less defined the universe of recipients. So the assumption going into this is that the groups are clearly defined and they're targeted. And I believe that the previous discussion was also noting that for contracted parties, there's an obvious way to ask them to respond. For registrants, both commercial and non-commercial, we can use the GNSO's constituencies and stakeholder groups. And similarly with trademark owners and brand owners, we would probably be looking for assistance from the IPC and other groups that are represented on this call. In terms of the first question you asked in proceeding, bearing in mind the council's direction, which Kathy noted at the beginning of the call. And if you look at what we have in this data request in attachment 2, which starts on page 6, the staff suggestion is for the sub-team to take a look at these purposes in light of the specific charter questions that they are meant to answer, and then to perhaps have even after some deliberation, something like a straw man proposal or whatever the correct straw suffix is, maybe Jeff can tell us that these days, so that when the group comes to discuss the actual survey design with the professional designer, that designer will have a very clear idea, or as clear as we can make it, what our objectives are, what types of questions we're looking to ask, and so that they're not starting from a blank slate or even having to understand, you know, what this group is all about. Hopefully that's helpful, Jay Scott. I'll turn it back to you and the sub-team.
Okay. So I see here that you refer to attachment two beginning on page 6. And similar to what we did for the data gathering with regards to additional rights protection mechanisms, I see that we've categorized certain questions or information that we need to receive from each of the particular groups. There, that is in the far left-hand corner. And then in the right is the purpose and data scope and the feedback we hope to obtain. So is there, yes, Michael Graham.
Yeah, Michael Graham for the record. I was just going to, and maybe this is getting ahead of us, but for purposes of putting together this information and such, I was wondering, because I have not dealt with it before, what sort of process or procedure does ICANN have dealing with this, where apparently what we would want to do once we have our general design, then to put together an RFP to the actual survey organizations to bid on it and to provide information. I'm just wondering, Mary, if there's a particular procedure that we follow for that, and if so, if there's particular information that we would want to provide for that. The reason why I'm asking at this point is that having been involved with the design and the implementation of the INTA survey, a lot of that process, once we came up with the questions we wanted to ask, then was back and forth with the survey designer to see if those were appropriate. And to the extent that, you know, we could combine the two processes, one of the sub-team, subgroup working through these, and two, working with the service provider to come up with the questions, to the extent that we can combine some of those activities, it would, it seemed to me, make it more effective and also a little faster to get done than the process that we had in that case. So if there is a process, I wonder if that's something that we could all share. Thanks.
Mary?
Thanks, Jay Scott, and thanks, Michael, for the question. Staff was going to try and provide at least some initial information on that as we go through this list. So thank you for asking. Essentially, ICANN does have a fairly fixed procurement process, and the staff supporting this group, that is myself, Julie, Ariel, and Barry, who's helping us with the data gathering, we've already commenced that process internally, and there are several steps that we need to take to go through that. We've also started talking with our colleagues from other teams who are far more experienced than we are in working with survey designers and contractors providing those services, but most notably our colleagues supporting the CCT review team. So we're starting to learn more about the process, the steps, and the timing, and we will be able to come back to the sub-team with more information as the support staff of this group does get those details. But essentially, you're right. The first step will be for us as ICANN.org to put out an RFP. And so what you noted, that any particular direction, information as to scope or specific requests that the sub-team can provide to us in preparing that RFP will be very, very helpful. It'll be helpful in a couple of ways. One, in that it will probably allow the possibility of having folks respond to the RFP who understand what it is that we're trying to do and who hopefully, possibly, even have familiarity with either the type of work or the nature of the subject matter. And so to that extent, if you have suggestions as to organizations or entities that might be well-equipped to provide those services, it'll be helpful if you recommended those as well so that we can try and, you know, let them know that there is this RFP and if they're interested to respond to it. So number one is that it will be really good if the sub-team can provide us with those suggestions because it'll get things going in a very timely fashion. And number two, as going through this particular list or doing the refinement as the council requested, if by the time there is a vendor selected at the end of the RFP process, we have something very concrete to share with that entity, then I think that work there will go much faster. And that is some of the initial feedback that our colleagues have told us. I hope that's helpful, and I hope that answers your questions, Michael.
Yes, Michael Graham for the record. Yes, it does. Thank you very much, Mary.
So, this is Jay Scott Evans again for the record. Looking at question one, the purpose of this call is to begin a discussion of ideas and suggestions for refining and or clarifying the objectives and scope of the Sunrise and Claims data request in light of the GNSO Council's direction and the relevant charter questions. So looking at this first survey of GTLD registry operators, are there any suggestions from any working group member, but especially those that are on the sub-team, with regards to refining these? Mary, is your hand still up? Are there any thoughts or concerns or issues with regards to the purpose and scope of the data and the feedback to obtain with regards to this list? This is your time to raise those, refine those, decide if there needs to be changes so that we can present it to the working group. That's the purpose. And so my question is, looking at that, does anyone have any opinions, thoughts, concerns? Christine Durain.
Hi, this is Christine for the record. Not necessarily providing any concerns, but just thinking about kind of a path forward. I suspect there's a lot of silence on the line because we're all sort of looking at the questions and thinking, gosh, where do we start? And I know you mentioned, you know, starting with sort of the survey of new GTLD registry operators. If you look at two, or you could start with attachment one and just sort of start down the top, but that doesn't make a ton of sense. Because I think the way that staff has organized them in attachment two makes more sense. One option would be, just to get the ball rolling, is if we pick a group, one, two, or three of attachment two, and then pick out the low-hanging fruit to get started. So, for instance, I mean, obtain anecdotal evidence, well, that's not low-hanging fruit. We're going to have to figure out how we want to word that or what we're getting at. But if we skip down a bunch to if a registry operator offered an IDN GTLD, obtain feedback on the efficacy of Sunrise for IDN GTLDs. So I think one of the things we could do is we could pick some of those, like the questions that are already fairly concrete, and just make sure that we're happy with the wording and that they're specific enough and concrete enough that we can, that they're in a good enough shape to send them to a survey operator. I think the concern is some of the questions are pretty open-ended, and a survey operator is just not even going to know where to go with it. So that's my suggestion for going forward. Happy to take other feedback, but I thought I'd throw it out there.
Thank you, Christine. All right, Kathy?
Sorry, I thought there was someone else in the queue as well. Kathy Kleiman. And also just reminding J. Scott, this kind of this direction of the council to see if there's any way we can maximize the value and relevance of the data that we're collecting as well. Just something else to keep in mind as we're looking at refining the questions. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, but this is J. Scott Evans for the record. I think that seems to be sort of a very subjective call with regards to that. But so let's look at these issues here. And of the issues listed in number one on attachment two, can we get some sort of discussion or agreement on what we think are the low-hanging fruit that don't require as much refinement and discussion as some of the others, so that we can sort of notify those and then leave the others for discussions and just go through, as Christine has suggested, and look at each set of questions and identify those where we think there, you know, there doesn't need to be as much work in refining them. Is that a plausible way forward? Do people have any thoughts, concerns, issues, suggestions?
Hey, Scott, it's Michael Graham. I'll raise my hand.
Okay.
Just sort of to jump in, and I'm sitting here doing what I think probably most people are doing, but maybe in a much more Luddite sort of fashion, as in I've got printed copies that are in front of me. I think the most useful, well, the challenge is the fact that attachment 2 is a great summary of the purpose and scope of the data. It refers to the questions, but then the questions are separately in attachment 1. And some of them, for example, where you talk about the survey of registry operators asking about, anecdotal evidence regarding whether premium pricing affects trademark holders. That's a question that's asked of both groups, and it's question 2. Okay, so the long and the short of it is, I'm sitting here referring back and forth to 2 records, and I think what we need to do in order to answer the question that you and Kathy have raised, which is looking for low-hanging fruit, is to define what the fruit is. And maybe that's breaking these the attachment 2 out into the various surveys, and rather than referencing the questions, to actually insert the questions in each of these sections so that we can see what would be asked in that survey of the operators, and then be able to go, well, if the operator were to receive a survey asking this specific question, is that going to work? Now, the problem with that, so let's just take it for instance. Look at attachment 2, the survey of registry operators, the very first purpose and scope, which refers to question number 2. If I drop in there, then the actual text of question number 2 from the Sunrise Charter questions, those questions are, does Registry Sunrise or premium name pricing practices unfairly limit the ability of trademark owners to participate during Sunrise? If so, how extensive is this problem? It's very general and vague in terms of the survey of the registry operators, but a minor change in that is asking, you know, what is their perception, how we would ask that. And dropping those questions within this, then we could define those, I think, more clearly, and it'd be easier to deal with this rather than going back and forth. And perhaps the way of dealing with that is to set up a third column where those questions would be laid out next to the purpose and scope. And I think the actual drafting of the questions then, when we deal with the service provider, we would say, this is what we're trying to get at. This is the question we think we should ask. Do you, based on your experience, believe this would be solicit the information that we're looking for? So, one, hopefully then, the next time we meet, if we have that chart, all of us would be able to go through it and make proposed revisions to those questions that we could offer to the subgroup and decide if those are the ones that we think would help in the survey. And then once that's passed on, we would have something that would be able to be discussed in Abu Dhabi in terms of those specific questions to be presented to the service provider. That's simply my suggestion. It's not something that I think we can do online in this meeting, but certainly decide on how to move forward with it. And that's what my suggestion would be to prepare that new chart incorporating the 2 attachments.
Thank you, Michael. Do others feel that that's a good way to proceed? Because it looks, if this is Jay Scott for the record, if that's where we are, we may be stymied today with continuing if people feel like the information is presented in such a fashion that we can't have a discussion about, you know, the, because it's just too difficult with the way the information is permitted. Is that what I'm hearing from folks? I see there's some discussion in the chat with regards to how some support of Michael's proposal. So my question is, are we saying that it's too difficult to have the discussion today based on the way the information is laid out, and we need to get a new chart so that we can have a more robust discussion? I'm just needing the working group members to chime in and tell me what they feel like is the best use of time.
Jay Scott, it's Michael. Susan has her hand up.
Yeah, I just scrolled up and saw that. Susan?
Yes, hi. Hi, it's Susan Payne here. I do think what Michael's suggesting would probably make it easier to do, rather than the flipping back and forwards. Speaking for myself, I'm Luddite as well, so I have it printed off. So the flipping back and forwards, you know, is a bit awkward, but it's certainly not unmanageable. So I feel like I could at least start the exercise, you know, before we have the chart with the three columns. But it may not be the same for everyone. It may be more challenging for people if they, you know, if they are trying to do it online, particularly if they, you know, are trying to be in the Adobe and look at a document somewhere else as well. So I'm willing to give it a go if other people think it's worth it. Before I stop talking, the reason I actually put my hand up was that I was going to suggest maybe we need a fourth column. Sorry about this, Mary, would probably be kind of what's the actual question we think we're going to be asking. Because if you look at just taking this first item and the charter question 2 as an example, you know, the charter question 2 says, do registry sunrise or premium pricing practices unfairly limit the ability of trademark owners to participate in the sunrise? Obviously, that's not the question that's going to be asked in the survey. So, you know, I think we might find it helpful for us to have an additional column, which is where we actually try to capture what we think the type of question is that is going to be asked. And obviously that's something for the survey provider to also have an input on. But, you know, the kind of questions we're going to be asking are, I'm guessing, you know, have you experienced issues around premium name pricing? You know, give concrete examples or something. I mean, I don't quite know how you'd phrase it. I'm not a survey expert. But, you know, we clearly can't just ask people, you know, does Sunrise unfairly limit your ability to participate? Because you could get a yes-no answer to that.
Correct. All right. But we all agree, looking at this, this is J. Scott Evans for the record, that We still agree that this is information that we are going to want to assist. We agree that the question that we have as our charter question, number 2, is not the form of the question or questions that would be asked. And that is something, the question I have for the group is, you know, is there any refinement that you see that needs to take place with regards to the type of information that we're seeking in from the registries with regards to this, or any limitations we want to put on this, or is it too broad? Christine Durain. I think you're on mute.
Oh, thanks. Sorry, this is Christine Durain. Yeah, so I think that the there's no big top line answer for, you know, are the questions too broad or are the questions specific. I think the answer is we're here because there's a general consensus that the questions aren't yet ready, and some might be too broad and some might be too specific and some might not be tailored enough. But I think that's what we're here for. So I think we agree. I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding your questions. If so, I apologize. But I think we are here to go through them and make sure that the questions are in good shape for submitting to whatever provider comes out of the RFP.
Okay. So that would I'll jump to Kathy Kleiman, and then we'll come back to that exercise. Kathy?
Hey, yes. This is Kathy Kleiman, and
I thought we did a lot of this work already. It's sounding familiar. So let me try something else, because we've had the questions and the data gathering combined. Now we separated them, probably as much for the purpose of the GNSO Council and their review as others. But we know the charter questions, and we know our refinement of the charter questions, which is what I really refer to as attachment one. And attachment two was kind of our thoughts on data gathering. And I could be wrong. I thought our sole purpose for this data gathering request, which has been approved, was that we had already, again, looked at the charter questions, which are not, of course, the questions that are going out to the world. That's the data gathering, and that's what we're looking for some input on the survey. So it's really attachment two that I think we're working on, and I'm not sure we have to create the questions. I thought the only issue now that we've been approved on data gathering for Sunrise Period and trademark claims, our first two sub-teams on this, I thought the only issue was value and relevancy, to make sure that the data we gather, you know, that the value is maximized. So I thought we're just doing a maximization effort really on attachment two. And then we go as a separate exercise of the data subteam. As a separate exercise, then we go to additional marketplace protections and look at how we kind of fold that in to the questions we're already asking the data gathering. But I thought we had kind of a narrower purpose, again, just to review what's already been approved and see whether there's a way to kind of further maximize it before it goes off to the survey people. But I think attachment two is really where we're starting from here. Thanks.
Michael Graham.
Thanks, Michael Graham, for the record. Kathy, I think you're entirely right in terms of the focus, which is really to make sure that we're asking what we can. Having gone through the experience of putting together a survey with a survey provider, it is essential, if we want to have the information asked, that we suggest some of the questions. And that's why I was attaching, you know, the specific questions to what we were trying to do to pass along, because, yes, I don't think that those will be the final questions as they're actually contained in the surveys, but it would give the survey provider the direction, and also in a lot of cases, unfortunately, in some cases, also the questions in some cases that they would actually use. So I think it's sort of important that we combine those with two when we're passing this on. Otherwise, we're going to be paying for the survey provider to come up with entirely new questions that we have not, as a working group, gone through. So my understanding was that the summary here, the purpose and scope, was sort of a summarization of why we were asking the questions that we came up with, and then there were the specific questions that we had come up with. Real quickly then, too, in terms of wanting to optimize the time that we now have here as a group, one thing with this list of data sources and proposed methodology is to identify and distinguish those that information that we're trying to obtain through the use of surveys from that information that we're trying to obtain through other sources, and to confirm that we know what the source would be, and then work with staff to, you know, facilitate getting that information, who's going to be gathering it, how it's going to be presented, who we're going to be asking. And I note that there are probably about five surveys in here, but then from number seven, looking at the data sources, seven down to the end, so that's 7 through 14, those are all obtaining information from other sources other than surveys. So my suggestion would be that for the remainder of our time, perhaps we'll look at those other seven to see if we can't identify, you know, what the sources would be, and to the extent possible, where the same source would be used for two or more of these bits of information that we're going to be seeking, so that, you know, the process can be expedited and we can pull it together, and maybe in some cases we don't have to find separate information that can be found together with information we're already seeking.
Thank you, Michael. This is Jay Scott again for the record. Based on what you just said, Michael, based on your experience, are we not already, I asked the group, in a position to simply have add the third column and that's what we would provide to the survey designer is, you know, the question, what we're seeking to get from the question, and because we've already asked the question and we're giving them an idea of what we're trying to do, knowing that it's imperfect, and then giving them what we're really trying to obtain so that they can then modify it in whatever way it needs to be done. I mean, so it seems to me that for the survey part, our work may be done here because all we need to do is get the information organized in such a way that it's able to be presented to a survey provider to give us some indication when they look at it of the work it would take to refine it to get, because the most important thing for the survey provider, I think, is more important is, you know, what the purpose is. We're tying it back to the charter questions for our own benefit and showing them what the imperfect question is, but what they're really interested in, from having heard from Michael and some of the comments I've seen in the chat, is the context and the purpose and what we're seeking. So it seems to me that that work may already be done, and all it is just organizing that work into a format that's presentable to get an RFP, and that would be just with regards to the surveys. I think Michael makes a very good point in work we should, after I get some response to my question, or my, you know, my thoughts here, that 7 through 14, on the other hand, are of a different universe and can be approached differently. I see Mary Wong's hand is up.
Thanks, J. Scott, Michael, Kathy, and everyone. I think essentially what you and Michael said, J. Scott, was something that I was going to try to repeat back to make sure that the staff understanding is the same. And so going back to something Michael said earlier, it seems to me that what we'll do is, you know, basically expand this table into four columns. The third column will reflect the specific charter questions, and so that, you know, there won't need to be the inefficient flipping back and forth. The fourth column is what I think you just outlined very clearly as well. And going back to Susan's suggestions and what the staff was calling the straw, you know, XYZ, that fourth column is exactly the guidance that will be worked on with the professional. And here, staff is mindful that we as staff do not have the same experience, but it's good that Michael, Cynthia, and Lori, who's not on the call today, but she's on the sub-team, have that experience most recently with the INTA survey. And so in that fourth column, that would be the guidance, the information, the specific input, which can take a couple of forms. One form would be, I think, Jay Scott, what you call the imperfect questions, because we all, and certainly the professional, will recognize that that's not the actual question that will be sent out as a starting point. None of us are professionals at this. But the idea is to say, this is the question, this is what the question could look like, but we could also, and additionally, take the form of specific notes and bullet points. This is why we're trying to ask this question. This is the type of information that we're trying to get back. As Cynthia said in the chat, that the more specific guidance we can provide, that the easier it will be for the professional to work and produce something that will be useful for our purpose. And as Maxime said, you know, ultimately the professional will probably have the job of turning all of those requests into something that's understandable for folks without the technical or legal knowledge. So that's our understanding of where the sub-team will end up and where this document will really, what it will start to look like as this sub-team goes on. Sorry I had to go on for a long piece, but I just wanted to be sure that we're all on the same page. Thanks, Jay Scott.
Yeah, this is Jay Scott again. So Mary, the one thing that I want to make sure I'm clear on that I was not suggesting, it seemed as if you were, is I'm not suggesting that the sub-team do any more than organize this information with regards to the surveys. The imperfect question in my mind is the charter question. Then the context for the survey provider is the purpose and scope of that question, what we're really trying to obtain. And then in the fourth column would be perhaps once we do some consultation, what questions the survey provider suggests we do to rectify the imperfect question to drive us to the purpose and scope of the information we're trying to get. But I'm not suggesting we come up with a fourth column at this point because I'm wondering if that's just not wasted time. So my thought was, well, maybe the work with regards to the surveys is done. We just need to organize the material in a certain fashion so that it can be presented for an RFP so they can understand how much work they may or may not need to do in order to come up with that fourth column of questions. So that's sort of where I was. I don't know if the rest of the team is on the same page with me or if they think that we somehow need to, you know, organize this information, then we try to draft some type of questions, imperfect as they may be. But I think that's duplicating work. We know what in my personal opinion, it seems we know what the imperfect question is. It's the charter question. And we know the scope and context of that question. We've come to an agreement. That's what's in attachment two. And I think that is the information we need to provide on to get the RFP. And if we can arrange that and come to an agreement that that's a good arrangement, I think that's work that's done. And then I think Michael said, well, their only surveys are only for 1 through 6. And then from 7 to 14, these are additional third parties that we would be reaching out to for sources, and maybe we need to look at that and spend our time looking at that to decide how we're going to reach out to, or who we're going to reach out, who the relevant parties, who's going to be responsible for this, and sort of coming up with a plan that we can put into place and perhaps implement to gather the additional data that's in 7 through 14. I see Michael's hand is up, and then I see Mary's hand is up.
Thanks, Michael Graham, for the record. And maybe Mary's going to answer this. But I just took a look at the 7 through the bottom, and they can be basically summarized as being information from 3 sources. And Mary, you can correct me when I'm done. 7 is research, which is basically obtaining data regarding what domains were registered in the new GGLDs were disputed, and whether or not they were registered during the applicable claims period. And that was sort of projected to be either graduate researchers, law students, see what resource we could find, because they would be able to get that information from various sources. So that would be identifying either volunteer organization or sourcing through some of our academic contacts, students who might want to carry on that research. And the question there for the sub-team would be to define whether or not the data that we've got there is what we would ask those researchers to gain if it's defined well enough. Number 8 actually started with utilizing contractors that would then be work with staff to develop certain information based on statistics, and that would be something I think that staff already has an idea of what we would be looking for there. It would probably require an RFP similar to but different from the ones that we're going to do for the surveys. And then finally, 9 through 14, unless I'm wrong, were all areas that we believed that staff would be able to either compile a list or data, at least as to provide sufficient data for a starting place to address the issue that we were looking at. So I'll turn it over. That was just quick observations on the 3 different types of sources for those information from 7 to 14. Thanks.
Thanks, Michael. Mary?
Thanks, J. Scott. Thanks, Michael. This is Mary from staff. And actually, Michael, you're right. I was actually going to go to these points based on the earlier discussion. And so if it will be helpful, I can give a really quick rundown of what staff has already started doing and what is still hanging out there, if I may use the expression. So the overall good news, quote-unquote, for the SEPTEAM and working group is that much of this we've already, as staff, set in motion. So, for example, in number 7 at the bottom of page 8, where the data is concerned in terms of things like, you know, the number of complaints, which domains were registered and which new GTLDs that were subject of these disputes, that data is already being gathered by staff, primarily by Berry. And so that's already being worked on. In relation to number 7, what we haven't done and what we think might be more appropriate for law students or researchers to do is to look, if it's necessary, at actually at the UDRP complaints, because that's a lot and we're going to need that in phase 2. We haven't done the articles and research about gaming and the harm of typo spotting, but again, that's something that's a specific task that doesn't require the sub-team to be doing unless you have specific direction. In terms of number 8 on page 8, the contractors, we can certainly work with Deloitte and IBM, which would be the last, I guess, the 2 or 3 bullet points. What we have put on pause at the moment is the first 2 points, the question about semantics of programming, and then following that, a feasibility question. Our understanding from previous discussions on this was that this is not something that's priority at the moment, and so, you know, in our own version of low-hanging fruit, meaning what can be done quickly and what's more important, we have paused that specific bit. Then all the other ones, you know, from 9 onwards, to the extent that is compiling data that exists, particularly if we can get that data from our providers, from the URS providers, if we can get that data from the internal registry and registrar reports. So things like approved launch programs, qualified launch programs, ID and sunrises, URS cases, that too is something that we have already started. So for the remaining up through 14, the only thing outstanding is, again, the actual research about articles and journalist coverage. The whole point of this is to let you all know that, therefore, our view in terms of the priority for this sub-team is really the first 6 items in attachment 2, and these are all noted as surveys. So going back to an earlier point from a previous discussion, the idea is to have the designer really do an omnibus type of survey, but with questions that may need to be customized or tailored for different target groups, noting that a lot of these intentions really are going to the same charter question. So seeking the same type of information for the same charter question, but in a different way. And hopefully that's helpful, and hopefully the sub-team agrees that your focus can be items 1 through 6, at least for now. Thanks, J. Scott.
Okay. This is J. Scott Evans. So maybe perhaps for the next sub-team call, one of the things we can get is sort of some sort of indication on this chart or somewhere of where staff is on gathering that information and where they feel like they need to report out to us, where there have been problems, where they think they have concerns, where we may need to go to get additional information, some sort of status, so we sort of know where staff sits with regards to the data gathering. We know it's begun, but we really don't know what the status of that is. Secondly, if we are concerned mainly with the points 1 through 6 on attachment 2, my question is, well, if we get the rearrangement, and I ask this to the team, the full working team, but it's specifically to those that are on the working group, the subgroup, if my understanding is we've got the imperfect question, we've got the context and rationale and scope of what we're seeking to get already done. If we get that into the chart that we discussed before and provide that as our completed task to go out for RFP, do people feel like that's what we need to do, or is there additional discussion that people think that needs to happen, or additional things they think the subgroup needs to do with 1 through 6 to get it in a form that it's acceptable to the group to move to the next stage?
J. Scott's Michael Graham.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think, and sorry, I was typing, so I may have missed, and you said this. The only thing I think that would be important for the subgroup to do at this point would be once staff can put together that third column of the imperfect questions so that they can be looked at directly against what the purpose and scope of data is and the audience that we're going to be directing the questions to, and for that subteam to come up with, again, imperfect questions that may be needed, that we would suggest be tailored to that audience for column 4 and or, so maybe we don't want to come up with the actual questions, but whether or not we, in viewing that, think that there may be some clarification that we should provide to the survey companies to direct them when they're doing the final questions. I actually think it's not a waste of time for us to look at those questions, phrase them the way that they would be phrased for the particular audience. For example, question 2 is not clear. I mean, it's a general question, but how would you ask that question of the registry operator? And how would you phrase that question to ask to the registrants? I think we could project that and put that in column 4 as suggestions then, which we would expect the surveyor to actually make revisions to. But you know, going back, we really do, and I've seen this in the chat, we really do want to give as much direction to the survey organization as possible, not only to ensure that they ask what we think they should be asking, but because in my experience, even the most experienced survey organizations really rely on us to come up with workable questions and approaches. If we just allow them to do it, we may not be getting the information that we want. And so that there would actually be more work when they suggested questions out of the blue based on our column 3 imperfect questions than if we present them with a column 4 imperfect but directed question drafts. So I would say if staff could put together the column 3 for the next meeting and then perhaps divide up or have the members of the subteam volunteer each of them to deal with one of those 6 surveys in coming up with questions 4 in the fourth column. And then when we talk on Friday, we could go over those proposed questions in the fourth column. I think we could get a lot done.
The proposed questions, because we are, as I understand, this is J. Scott Evans for the record, if I'm understanding you correctly, Michael, is that what you're thinking about is charter question 2, there is information we're seeking from various different groups under the survey. And so you're talking about the imperfect question is the charter question. And then in column 4, our suggestion is how this group thinks you might tailor a question to that specific audience to tease out the information you're seeking to get in the second column, which is the scope and purpose and the feed, what you're trying to obtain.
Michael Graham, yes. I think that's a good way of defining it, J. Scott.
Okay. And how does is there support for that amongst the working group to take on that work? Does that seem like a good way forward? It certainly is structured and, you know, places the work into buckets.
And this is Michael. There are probably 3 or at most 4 different sections of that. So certainly the small size of the group and the fact that it would be really focused on those specific questions for those three or four sections. So I'm saying 1, 2, 3, and then 4, 5, and 6 could be combined as one because there are only a couple questions in each of those. And we have, I think, five or six people in the sub-team, Mary. We could ask to volunteer for a specific data sources in those first six.
Other sub-team members that are on the call, Susan Payne or Christine Durain, do you have any thoughts, comments, concerns, ideas? Kieran, acknowledgments, agreements, along with this proposed plan, Christine Durain.
Hi, this is Christine. Yeah, I think what we've talked about so far with the four columns, et cetera, I think this is a good start. Yeah, could we get into it next Friday or whenever and find that, oh, shoot, we need to add another column? That's happened before in some teams. But I think this is a good way forward. It's a good outline, and we should proceed with this until something else comes along to tell us we're doing it wrong. Thanks.
All right. So it looks like the way forward is that staff is going to take this column, I would suggest this table in attachment 2, and insert the charter questions in the chart. And I just think that perhaps it would be first column is who the audience is, second column is the charter question next to each of the purposes and scopes, the charter questions is relevant to that. Then the next column would be this purpose and scope information, and then the last column would be proposed tailored questions for the audience. Is that what we just have been talking about? It looks like Mary understands that as their task. I want to make sure that everyone on the sub-team, I think Susan Payne is typing. Maybe not to me. She's happy with that approach. And then when we get that, then we're going to assign a team, volunteers, to propose questions for column 4 for each audience. And then those questions would come back to the, once there's been an agreement amongst the sub-team, they would come back to the working group, and then that would be used to, as our proposal to go out for the RFP to the survey provider. Does that sound appropriate?
This is Michael. Sounds appropriate. Mary, I wonder, you're going to have the updated table ready for Friday and discuss the tax division during the call. I think that'd be great. That'd be great. And if anyone, I would say if the list could come out tomorrow, if any of us on this call who are on the sub-team want to volunteer and dive into a particular section, I think let's go ahead and do that. I mean, if we could have even badly drafted fourth column questions for Friday, we could actually get something done. And do we have only one or do we have two meetings before the Abu Dhabi meeting that we'd be able to work on this? I think we only have the one, don't we?
And then you have a meeting in Abu Dhabi, Mary.
That is correct, Jay Scott. There is the one meeting this Friday at 1600 UTC, 60 minutes. And then the next meeting will be the session in Abu Dhabi, currently slated for Saturday.
But
okay, I'm just wondering. I see in the
as well. You don't have to record. Scott, you don't have to rely on phone calls and face-to-face meetings to do this type of work.
Right. I see a couple of conflicts for the 1600 on Friday. Did that move to 1600 or was it still 1400, Mary?
It's my communication is at 1600 on Friday, and I only see one conflict so far. Unfortunately, it happens to be Christine Durain, who is a very active member of the sub-team and the working group, and also a registry, which is a good voice to have involved as we proceed forward, but perhaps, you know, she can participate outside of the call itself. So do we have a way forward that everybody's comfortable with? I realize that it's Kieran and Michael and Lori and Susan and a couple of others who are going to bear the brunt of the decisions that are made today, and I realize that we haven't heard from some of those voices as we've come up with this plan. From the few we have heard from, it appears that we have consensus that this is a good way forward. So I think that that's how we're going to proceed, and we'll do so. We'll expect that Friday there will begin a division once the chart is in order, that then we will get a task, if it hasn't occurred before, of dividing up the sections of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, I think we agreed could be done together, into groups, and then assign people to come up with proposed questions, the rough questions that we could present. So that seems like where we are. Is there anyone else who has any thoughts or comments or concerns about the way forward, or how we proceed, or if they have any additional ideas? And I think also I suggested, Mary, that staff sort of give us an update on their gathering efforts with regard to 7 to 14, so that there's sort of an understanding of what the status is of that gathering of information. And I know it's been gathered, but maybe a little bit more detail around that. Does that seem acceptable? Can I see some hands or some comments from I'd like to hear from the okay, I see that Susan's okay. We've already heard from Christine. Michael's on board. Kieran's on board. So it looks like we're in a good place to go. Are there any other thoughts or comments for today's call that anyone wants to express?
Jay Scott, Michael, for Mary, I wonder if in preparing the revision, you might go ahead and break the chart down into two, one for the surveys and one for the data gathering, and that way you'll be freer. You'll be able to provide a third column giving the status of the data gathering that Jay Scott was asking about, and it won't get confused with the questions that we have for the survey section.
Looks like she's already ahead of you, Michael.
She usually is. Thank you, Mary.
She stated in the chat that that's exactly what they're going to do. Okay, so if I don't hear any more comments or anyone doesn't have any other thoughts or ideas with regards to ways forward, I think we've mapped out a way for us to proceed. And I thank you all for your participation today. Again, just to restate, the next call for the sub-team is Friday, October 20th at 1600 UTC. With that, I'm going to give you back 10 minutes of your day. Thank you, everyone.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jay Scott.
Thank you for running the call, Jay Scott. Thank you, sub-team. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Operator Colleen, if you could please note that. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.